The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Wow, what an ending to a week, to a year, to almost 2 years, in fact. What an incredible story. Never anything like this in American history. Never. Never will be again, either. I really view it as a political fairy tale come true. These things don't happen. When you think of who and what Donald J. Trump went up against. And when you look at the viciousness, the evil of the dominating mainstream media, and all the other factors, every day, in every way, he was attacked, he was smeared, he was abused, and somehow riding on the shoulders of that part of America which is still alive, still competent, and still remembers what made this country great once, and who wanted to make it great again, he was carried to victory. And I really think that there's a case to be made for something superhuman that might be involved in this entire process. I don't know what it is, but it was David against several Goliaths, not just one. And he won. We won. The world won. Everybody won. And thank goodness today, things went well. Yes, there were hundreds arrested, cars burned, windows smashed, paid thugs. We know the routine by now. And also, Trump, I'm sure, is aware that every day of his first 4 years will be fraught with peril, danger, challenge. Nothing's going to be easy. He's not going to be playing 300 rounds of golf. It ain't going to happen. Harry Cooper is with us tonight, as he is once a month, unless he's under the weather. He's above the weather tonight. And welcome back, Admiral. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm sorry I missed the last time around. But hey, today is America's new Independence Day.
You got it. I understand you're flying a special flag, or you were outside the house today.
I was during the daytime, yeah. The American flag that Ronald Reagan sent me back in, 1980 when he made his first run for the White House.
Very nice. Very nice. Nice souvenir. I once spent time with Ronald Reagan. And
really?
Close to an hour, maybe. And he was in the studio I was at, and I ended up doing an interview with him. What a delightful, warm real human being.
Yeah.
Nothing phony about the guy.
He was the greatest president of my lifetime, and I think Trump might even be better.
We have every indication that that may be the case.
Yeah.
And when you look at the garbage that has slithered out the back door of the White House, and the guy has driven up the American debt. He spent money like it was water. He drove up our debt.
He didn't spend our money.
Yeah.
Wasn't his money.
That's right. It's our grandchildren's money. He spent so much it drove up the American debt, 86%.
Yep.
Almost $20 trillion. Let's call it $20 trillion. Who's counting? Come on. He
Pretty
did
close.
It. It started out at 13, $7 trillion easily. And you know, the guy gets the Nobel Peace Prize, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest, the Nobel Committee will never overcome that. That is the biggest disgrace in its history. He dropped.
He already had a war going when he got the Peace Prize.
Yeah, and he never stopped it. He increased it. Do you know how many bombs he dropped, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, in 8 years? He dropped over 100,000 bombs on human beings and targets.
Wow. We got one of my wife's relatives sent a tweet as Obama was leaving, and the tweet or Facebook, whatever it was, thank you, Mr. President, for not getting us into a war in the last 8 years. And I'm thinking, what the hell has this woman been smoking, for God's sake? We've been at war the whole 8 years he's been in office.
Yep. It's going on 15 in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And I don't know why we ever got into there. I mean, we all made jokes about the Soviets getting their ass kicked in Afghanistan.
Right.
And they finally had enough sense to pull out. And so we go in, and we're getting stomped.
We haven't won anything there. We never will. Those people will never submit.
We've got a great military, but unfortunately the government gets involved. You know, you can't just go and win a war. You have to play by the rules. The other side doesn't have rules, but we have to play by handcuffing type rules. I think that's going to stop now with Trump in the White House. I hope.
Well, I certainly do too.
And his head of the armed forces there, Mathis. We've been following Mathis' career for over a year, and the guy just. He's a Marine. That sums it all up. This guy is an ass kicker of the highest order. You know, just don't mess with him, or that'll be the end of your army.
You know, this terror organization, the subhuman terror organization. They're all subhuman, but this is especially so. ISIS, the Islamic State, IS, Daesh or Daesh, as they say. They just are getting worse. They went back into Palmyra. I don't know how Palmyra was left undefended to the extent that they could go in and take control of it or part of it. And what their whole thing is that no other religion, no other government, history doesn't matter. So what did they do yesterday? There was this absolutely gorgeous ancient Roman theater, outdoor theater with the curved seats like an amphitheater.
Right.
And they blew the hell out of it with explosives again. Columns that has stood for 2,000 years knocked down. This whole movement, and I hate to say it, but we know it, this government, the outgoing government, the gone government, was thoroughly involved in establishing and Hillary Clinton and paying and underwriting this group. We are supposed to believe that our military is over there and sends out bombing mission after bombing mission and somehow can't hit them and never hit their oil transport trains that were six tankers wide moving through the open desert. We couldn't see them. We're supposed to believe that? No, it was all a setup. All of it. All of it.
You don't mean that they put money in their pocket over this, do you? Oh, my goodness.
It really is something. And when you look at it, and you know, you talk about war. They don't have rules for engagement. They don't have protocols. All they know is To kill, murder, maim, rape.
Yeah.
Violate children, human slavery, trafficking. They don't care. This is an asymmetrical warfare of the worst kind. And when we look back at what your specialty is, and that's studying World War II, all armies, all servicemen and women, and tactics, and all the rest of it, we're out of that time now. This is guerrilla war, and nothing is going to change. It's going to be that way.
Well, you just got to kill them all. Let God sort them out. That was the saying for the guys in Vietnam. Kill them all. Let God sort them out.
That's really, unfortunately, applicable. And now look at what's happened in Europe. The invasion of Europe, and it's nothing less than a full-scale invasion. Armies of men, fighting-age men, being marched in there, floated in there, flown in there, and over here as well. They've been brought over here. They're coming up through Mexico. Hopefully that'll stop. As of tomorrow, perhaps President Trump will deploy the National Guard with ammunition, by the way. Helps.
With my favorite weapon, you know, I was a weapon specialist in the service. My favorite weapon is that 50 caliber Browning heavy machine gun. Put them every 100 yards and anybody walks across the border, just buzz them. I suppose I'm losing a lot of your fans for you because they...
No, there's no other way to stop it, Harry. Yeah. There just isn't. And I arrived at that conclusion long ago. I'm sorry to be there, but I'm forced to go there.
Yeah.
When you see the Swedes and the Germans with holding up these signs, which they did, refugees welcome and all that, and then they started noticing that they were being raped by the hundreds of thousands, and so then they put up signs, "No Rapeugees," like that's going to stop them. These people live that way. They have billboards in sub-Saharan Africa showing the rape of white Nordic women. Yeah. Norwegian women, Swedish women,
and women says are just possessions for them.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Absolute garbage. They sleep
what
on the floor. They sleep on the floor. That is not a religion. It is a creation of the Catholic Church. It is history. That is the truth. It is not a normal so-called religion. It's a belief system. It's a cartel of killers. It's a cult. That's all it is. And we've got to stop it. Under Obama, of course, they have solidified their position here. There are some good people, but I don't know any who have sworn allegiance to the United States to the extent that they would put their Islamic lifestyle behind them. They're still, we'll call them dual citizens, as Israeli Americans are. They're dual citizens. Their God is not our God. It's not a Western Christian God. It's a man who was bought, paid for, and put into position of power in the 600s, named Muhammad, by the Catholic Church, who wanted to create Islam in order to take back Jerusalem. That was the deal. But then it got away from them and out of control because the people who were subscribing to it weren't the bright lights in the Christmas string, and they bought into this, and they've been killing and slaughtering for 1,700 years.
Okay, well, you know more about that than I do.
Well, anyway, it's all there. Just read the history. I'm hopefully going to put up a video pretty soon about the creation of Islam by the Catholics, which they sent a 42-year-old woman over there to seduce Muhammad and get him to marry her. And then funded him. And then he kept saying that he had these visions. And, well, they canonized his visions in the Quran. But I have visions. I have vision. You have vision. Everybody has vision. Or were his hallucinations. At any rate, it doesn't matter. We have an issue. We have people in this country now who will never, who cannot ever, they don't have the mental capacity, the ability, their IQs are 50 to 60, that's it, that's all it'll ever be, and they believe Sharia law above all, above the Constitution and everything, and look what the Europeans are doing. Are they rising up? Are they throwing off their own corrupt leadership? No, they're not.
You might you might start seeing it. As you know, I have a lot of friends in Germany and Austria,
yeah.
and they're really sick of it. And I think Angela Merkel's in big trouble politically. Austria, I think they just put in new leadership. I'm not sure yet, but I don't know anybody over there who's happy with the situation.
Well, the question is, why the hell don't they do something about it?
Well,
their own women and daughters and children are being slaughtered. They don't have to be killed. A rape is the death of a soul and a spirit. Those young people never get over that. And many of them will end up with AIDS. One-third of the blacks coming up from Africa have AIDS. One-third.
Yeah.
You have TB. You get raped by a gang of blacks, you might as well die. These women's lives are destroyed, and they will get AIDS, many of them. They're dead. So it's murder, and it's got to be called what it is, and there need to be... They're either going to get serious about it and deport every damn one of them, or they must begin to deal with them. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not afraid. Any Muslim involved in a sexual attack on a Western woman, child, should be immediately castrated without anesthetic and deported back to his country. If he is convicted of rape, he should be put to death on the spot. That's the only way to handle this.
And buried with 20 pounds of pig's guts.
At least.
Wow.
Sorry, that's where we are, Harry. There's no other way to approach this. None.
This country and this world was kind of going downhill, but I think the U.S. now, with Trump in there, is starting to move back in the right direction, and we hope the rest of the world does, because I love going to Europe. Europe is a fascinating place, beautiful place, but it's facing a bumpy future, let's put it that way.
Well, if it has a future at all, they're declaring now that they will, in fact, have an Islamic Europe in a few years, and unless they stop the influx. Now, remember those blacks that come over from Africa and the Muslims who come down from the Middle East and across, they're being subsidized. There's big money in this. There's also somebody paying for all those boats that they're coming across the Mediterranean in.
I got a comparison today, I think it was, in this country. I'm a veteran. I'm on Social Security. I got $900 and something a month. And some of the guys who are veterans from the major wars, and if they had been wounded, they get $1,200 a month. But the average immigrant that comes in here gets $1,700 a month.
Right.
What's wrong with that picture? You know, the guy who was in the war, he earned it. I earned my Social Security because every paycheck I ever got, they took out. Boy, I complained my head off, when I was a young man just getting started. I don't want them taking out Social Security. I can take care of myself when I'm older. Well, too bad. That's the law. Well, I'm happy now, because I get this Social Security every month.
So far.
That I earned. And that war veteran earned it. The people that come over here. No, when my grandparents came over, it was about 115 years ago, I guess, my grandparents came over, the early 1900s. They had to have a sponsor who said, I'll make sure this guy gets a job and is not a mooch on society. You had to get a job. You had to pledge allegiance. You had to go to school to learn about American history. You had to pledge allegiance. You had to be an American citizen. And assimilate. You couldn't, Granddad was Irish. You couldn't just have an Irish community that only spoke Gaelic.
Right.
My wife's grandparents were Polish. They wouldn't let the kids learn Polish. So it's a whole different world we live in, and wouldn't bother me because I'm not a kid anymore, but I've got two young kids. And what's that world going to be? That's what we got to watch.
Indeed. All right. Well, the good news is we finally have a beautiful first lady.
Oh, God, she's stunning.
Yes, she carries herself so well. And it's just it's a kind of a It's a level of class we've never seen in the White House before. Elegance, the whole thing is just a whole different level.
Yeah, and Trump's kids too. They're the decent, honorable.
They seem all to be, except for the boys who are hunters and going to Africa and shooting wild game doesn't appeal to me, but maybe they'll learn and figure that out.
The one I get a kick out of is Barron. The kid's 10 years old. You can see the look on his face. He wishes he was anywhere else in the world except being part of this event in history. 10-year-old kid. What does he know? He's a cool kid. Yeah. And the other little kids, the little boys, their ties are all untied. Their shirts are untucked. Like little kids.
Having fun. All right. Now, here's what we do when Harry is here. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes and come back. And when you get a chance, go to Rents, look on the left-hand side for guests, and click on photos under Harry Cooper's name. And we're going to talk about a time that really, it wasn't that long ago, 70 years ago, when nations were at war, and the worst war that we know about. And yet the values on both sides, all sides, were different. The people were different. Honor was still, especially in Germany, taught and required in the military. I'm not saying the others were lesser, but they were different. We certainly know the Soviet army, when it came into Europe toward the end of the war, was anything but enlightened. It was horrific what happened to Europe. And we're going to talk about that, look at some pictures and so forth. What's going on with shark hunters in your next trip?
Well, boy, I hate it when people answer a question and start out with, well, shows they're trying to sort their thoughts out.
It happens, it does happen.
I personally am heading for South America in about 5 or 6 weeks. This is just me, not a tour. We found a lady, 93-year-old lady, who actually saw that airplane land, that giant six-engine JU-390V2. She saw it land, so I'm going to go down and interview her. There's a Argentine TV station found out I was coming. They want to interview me. I'll be spending time with the former director of the Atomic Energy Commission in Argentina.
That's going to be fascinating. I hope he feels free to talk, because there was some pretty amazing things going on.
Interesting guy. I went to his house for dinner when I was down there this past about a year ago, and he was showing me his house, beautiful house. He has a cellar, a basement. Well, most houses in Buenos Aires don't have basements, but he has got a basement. And I went down there. I see all these big cases with the black and yellow circle on it showing radioactivity. I said, what's going on here? He says, oh, well, we have nuclear material down here. I said, that's nice. What do you got all that for? Said, oh, well, we radioactive. We do studies.
Uh-huh.
I said, this,
and this is in his basement.
Yeah, in his basement. I said, is this all radioactive? He said, oh, yeah, sure, but don't worry, you're shielded.
So, by what? Like, by his good wishes?
like it's got, like you're talking to a guy with a stamp collection. Oh, yeah, well, it's, you know, we do this experiment and that experiment down in the basement. So I'll be visiting with him for a day, visiting with the old lady for a day, spending a day interviewing on TV, and then probably 3 days on Lawrence DeMello's ranch. And Lawrence DeMello is, in my opinion, the world's number one expert on Martin Bormann. Very, very sharp lady. Got all her ducks in a row, and learned there. But the biggest thing, there are two doctors in southern Brazil who have found people.
Hold on right there. Perfect place to hold. Two doctors.
Two doctors in Brazil.
Little drama. Hold on. We'll come right back with Harry in just a minute. with all of you good people, wherever you are around the world, and Harry Cooper, who's with us once a month. We're going to talk about the two doctors.
The two doctors in Brazil, right. The two doctors.
You sound like you're in a busy train station.
I got a cold. My head's kind of...
No, I mean, there's people talking around there somewhere. I hear them.
Oh, I just walked past the TV set where my wife
Oh, it is a TV.
The inauguration. And you're right. That's an incredibly gorgeous first lady.
Yeah.
No, now I'm back in my quiet office again.
All right.
Yeah, the two doctors in Brazil, they live together. He's an eye doctor, and she's an OB-GYN. And they have been digging into history of some of the people from World War II who escaped down there. And they've got some people in Paraguay that they want me to meet. They live right across the river from Paraguay. So going to go down and visit with them. And they are experts on another facet of history that I'm not going to get into yet because I'm trying to help them
right.
put their book together first. But
that the people that they know or the person they know is you've told me just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it's stunning. It's another stunning story.
Yeah,
if they can open that up, boy, what an insight to history.
Well, I'm going to help them get published. They've got all the facts and the data they need.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to help them get published. As you know, our book, Hitler in Argentina, is an international bestseller, thank God. And they have something on other people from the Reich. And
well, we'll help you push it here, of course, and get that.
I know, I appreciate that, and they will, too. Once they come out with their book, of course, somebody will plagiarize the book and do a TV show about it. But now that wasn't in my studio.
No, it's a train station. I live right next to a train station.
Okay. So, you know, they'll have a book that's just, it's going to be just as mind-blowing as when we released the story of Hitler escaping from Berlin down to Argentina. Nobody believed it at first, and then we came up with the proof, and then umpty-zillion people plagiarized the book, wrote their own book, and...
They stole Harry Cooper's work, and it just... it's been on History Channel, and they will not honor him at all. They won't even mention him.
Don't even mention my name.
No.
Well, you live and learn, I guess. But this... the topic they're on, the people the lady they knew, it's going to blow your mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody else that died in the bunker in Berlin, but really didn't.
Yes, uh-huh.
And we don't mean Eva Braun, because Eva Braun was with Hitler, and that's another whole chapter of World War II.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing myself in about 5 or 6 weeks. Then we have our annual... Southern Patrol, we call it, in the last week of September, or first week in October. We go to Munich. We start in Munich, and this is a tour. People can take the tour. They can go to sharkhunters.com and click on tours, and it'll show the 2017 Southern Patrol. We start out in Munich. We tour various places in Munich that are historic. We have lunch at the Hofbräuhaus, and up on the third floor is a huge big hall that seats 800, and Hitler made many, many speeches up there during his rise to power, and also not so many after he got into power, but that was his political ladder that he was climbing. excuse me. We go to the same place by Feldherrenhalle, where Hitler and his followers went face-to-face with the Bavarian police. Problem was, the Bavarian police had a machine gun,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a wise thing to do to march up in front of a machine gun and try to start a fight. They lost a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Goering took several bullets, and Hitler was captured, thrown in prison for treason, only spent not even a year, I don't think. But we go there, then we go up to Nuremberg, which is where all the party rallies were.
The big party rallies.
The big party rallies, and they chose Nuremberg, well, for various reasons, but the biggest reason, all the rail lines in Germany went into Nuremberg, like Chicago back in the 30s. You couldn't go across the country. You went to Chicago, went to another train station, got on another train, and went the rest of the way. Same thing with Nuremberg. All the rail lines led into Nuremberg. So they packed in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people for the party rallies. And so we go to the rally grounds, the Zeppelinfeld, the stadium where Hitler used to make his speeches. But we go inside that stadium, which is off limits to everybody else. You know, they got a sign that says Eingang verboten, which means shark hunters are welcome
well,
here.
Well, you translated that wrong long
that's
ago.
That's right. Shark hunters welcome here. And the ceiling, it's called the Golden Room, and this is where Hitler used to come before he made his speeches. He'd have a reception in there, and the ceiling is still intact, inlaid with gold, gold swastikas and other designs. We go in there. We won't be able to go in there much longer. The place is really starting to crumble. And so within the next 5 years, 10 at the most, it'll be gone. We go up to the layer of offices. Hitler used one of those offices when he was in town. We go there. We go to the Congress Hall, Congressahalle, which is shaped like the Colosseum in Rome, only it's so big you could put the Colosseum into the inner courtyard of the Congress Hall. And that was supposed to be the office building for all the different parts of the Reich. Well, let's see where else. We go to the memorial for the Luftwaffe, and we tour. Oh, and we've added a new thing. We go a little bit out of town, and there's a castle there that was the ancestral home of von Stauffenberg. You know, Klaus Schenk von Stauffenberg is the guy who, the one-eyed colonel, put the bomb under the table to try to kill Hitler on the 20th of July in 44. He didn't live there, but his uncle Berthold did. And everybody connected with that, even if they were only related. It was not a pleasant time. They tortured the hell out of poor old Uncle Berthold. But we go to that castle, visit the castle. We visit the big castle in Nuremberg, which is actually three castles put together. And there's a nice shop there that if you want to buy World War II Third Reich artifacts, and the guy knows us, we go in the back room and you can buy genuine Third Reich artifacts.
Not made in China.
Not made in China. Or, you know, they had a big rash about 20 years ago, 10 years ago, of stuff being made in Poland and some of the other Eastern European countries that looked exactly like the real thing. And there was a glut of phony stuff on the market. This, we know, is real. And let's see, what else do we do there in Nuremberg? Well, there are two museums that are private, and you only go there by invitation. And since the man who runs these museums is one of our members and a good friend of mine, we go in there. And we also have dinner one night in a restaurant that was open for business 90 years before Christopher Columbus set out to find the New World.
Yeah, amazing. You forgot to mention one of the biggest things you do there is eat.
Oh, God, yes. Well, this restaurant, the only thing you can get there is the little Nuremberger sausages, which are the size of your little finger. And they're great. They're delicious, but they're incredibly rich. And we have a contest. Any one of our members wants to participate. If they can beat the shark hunter's record, I'll pay for their dinner. You order six at a time. And we had a guy, Big Steve, Steve Rhea. He set the shark hunter's record a few years ago. He ate 42 of these little things. And then he finished it off with a huge, big chocolate sundae.
And then had open heart surgery the next week.
No, he's a steel worker, mm-hmm. so he works it off, I guess. But nobody's been able to come close since. Now, that's a Shark Hunter's record. The real overall German record is 140-something.
Just need a little ketchup, and you could beat that easy.
Jeez. You know, these things are great, but I have trouble doing more than six. So we eat our way through Nuremberg. It's a fantastic old city. I think it started in the 800s, somewhere around there. Then after Nuremberg, we head south, way south, to southern Austria, to Carrington province, where the veterans there, most of them are 5th SS, they have a memorial service on Ulrich's Mountain the first Sunday of every October. And they up on top of this mountain, there's mm-hmm. the ruins of an old church, gigantic cross. You know, it's hard to believe. We were told they were all godless Nazis, which is absolutely false. But they have a memorial up there where they remember everybody who fell in battle, everyone who fell in battle, no matter what flag flew over them, no matter what Army, Navy, Air Force, whatever, what country, doesn't matter. They remember everyone who fell in battle. And that's the high point of the whole tour. We also have a fellowship evening with a few hundred veterans, mostly German, mostly 5th SS, which, of course, is why the Southern Poverty Law Center, otherwise known as the Spitlickers, that's why they say we're a bunch of Nazis. Of course, they'll say anything to get money.
You know, I do programs on history, always have, and especially with you in the last several years, and there... I never pick up the local newspaper. I literally don't do it. I don't even remember doing it. And I was in a waiting room, and there was a newspaper, and something drew me over, and I went over and picked it up, and looked at the front page and opened it up, and there's the second front page, they call it, looking you right in the eye, and there's my name. There's a big story in there all about how this city is now on the map as a hate city because of... Jeff Rentz, his program, and his radio network, according to the Spitlickers.
Yep.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, another hit piece. This is what they do. And if you want to see real hate, that's where you go to find it. This is not a hate program. And yet there was this newspaper story about yours truly and all that. And it was particularly planted here by them to try to... They do this kind of thing to try to harm... their adversaries. Of course, the only adversaries they really have are themselves, because anyone driven by that much hate, and they are, is a real lost cause. Anyway, that's their game. They've been after Harry and his work, and it's really kind of quite an endorsement to be singled out by them.
Usually when the Spitlickers run something negative about us, our membership increases quickly. They say I'm a Nazi. I've never been a Nazi. I'm a Republican, which probably is the same to those people. And they claim that Shark Hunters is a hate group because we had all these German veterans from the war. Okay, and when this woman, sometimes known as Fat Heidi, 525 pounds she is, she's their head attack dog, when she called me on the phone some years ago to ask me if these people were members, I told them, yeah, I could see where she was going. I said, hey, mm-hmm. let's not forget Ronald Reagan has been a member, a participating member.
Yeah.
The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were members. One was on my board. Governor Chafee and Senator Alphonse D'Amato and all sorts of other
You've had an illustrious membership, and of course that somehow failed to make the smear pieces that they put out.
Right. Yeah. And she says, that's not important. So
no,
I can see where you're going with this. So you go ahead and make up whatever story you want. I'm done talking to you, and I'm up the phone.
Yep.
They do it to make money. I ran their financials for the year 2013.
How many millions?
Well, they brought in $40 million that year in donations. And they had an operating war chest, if you want to call it that, of, what the heck was it, $350 million. So somebody's doing well by calling other people
unreal.
Unpleasant names. I'm in the wrong business. I don't even get a salary from shark hunters. Nobody does. We're all volunteers, but...
Yeah, well, that's the, for those of you who don't know, maybe we've got some younger people, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, so-called.
Yeah, SPLC.
This is one of the most inappropriately named organizations ever.
Yeah, and wasn't their founder, what's his name, Morris Dees, wasn't he brought up on pedophilia charges?
Look it up. Look it up. Just write Morris Dees, pedophile, and do a search, and you'll find out.
What
so
a fun
yeah,
bunch.
All right, let's go look. Go ahead, Harry.
Okay, after we're down in southern Carinthia, Carrington. Incidentally, they got great ice cream shops down there. we also stop. Everybody's familiar with Red Bull, the energy drink.
Yeah,
right?
That's how those. When you showed those pictures, that was amazing.
Yeah, and stupid me, I just assumed it was an American company. It's
sure,
not.
Sure.
It's Austrian based. And they're based in Salzburg, and they make so much money. They bought a bunch of old warbirds. They've got the only P-38 Lightning in all of Europe, and it flies. They've got a B-25. They've got a Corsair. Then they've got some former Soviet jets, but these are World War II American warbirds. And we go visit them, and they've got some... race cars, NASCAR race cars, Formula One race cars, but...
You have no interest in that, though.
No, the B-25 and the P-38. Boy, that grabs your interest. And they got a nice snack bar with ice cream there, too. So we go visit them. We also go visit... this previous year, we visited an underground bunker, a factory underground. What the heck was it called? I can't remember the name of it, but the... You know, the Allies were bombing the hell out of them, so they built everything underground. They had factories, two-story, three-story factories underground.
Big factories underground.
Huge.
Carved
so
right out of the earth.
One of them, and I'm not supposed to say it because it's not firm yet, but we 90% sure we're going into another massive bunker underground complex. I mean, this is not... tunnels where you crawl on your belly through mud. These are huge underground factories with hallways and labor shop rooms and everything. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And the lights all still work in there. So we're going in there. And then when we leave there, we go up to Berchtesgaden, which is in southern Bavaria. And we go through... tunnel and bunker system there that goes right under Hitler's house, the home he used to have before it was torn down.
What a tour. What an incredible tour.
I have fun. I learn something every year because this is not one of those tours that you see other people put together where they go there and they've got their host from the U.S. takes them everywhere. I'm with everybody, of course, but... in each one of these places, we have a local person who knows the whole area and who can get the doors open. Like I say, when we go into the Golden Room, our friend over there is the assistant to the mayor. He's got the keys to everything.
Yeah.
They know places where there's kind of like a big cabinet on right on a sidewalk in Nuremberg. It looks like one of these electrical service cabinets, maybe 6 feet across and 10 feet long and 8 feet high. And there's a big poster of an Elvis impersonator there. Okay, you just walk past it, you never pay it any mind. But you peel back one corner of the Elvis poster, and there's a keyhole. You open the door, and we go down below, and there's this massive, huge underground bunker system that had been a bomb shelter, and it's off limits to everybody else, but we go down there. So we go places nobody else can go. We go to the Eagle's Nest. We have a boat cruise on the Königssee, which means the King's Lake. Your listeners can just go to sharkhunters.com and click on tours. It just, you know, the places we go, it's still, I'm still mind-boggled by it.
It's amazing to me that the contemporary German government, whatever it is, after the war years and then some, didn't realize the potential that Berchtesgaden and the other to bring in tourism dollars. How much in that one location? If they had preserved half a dozen more, they'd be making countless dollars.
Yeah, the top of that mountain, the Obersalzberg, was all what's called a Reichssicherheitszone. In other words, a Reich security zone. Hitler had a home there, Bormann, Goering, Speer, and there were many other buildings up there that all had to do with the Third Reich. If they had just put a big fence around it or something and a turnstile.
Of course.
Holy smoke, they couldn't keep up with the money.
That's
but of course,
just so stupid.
It's going to be a Nazi shrine. And I don't know if it's a Nazi shrine or whatever you want to call it, but people come there anyhow and it's free.
It's called history. It's called history.
But, the property that the home sat on is still there. So, you know, just bad marketing.
Stupid. It's stupid.
Well,
they don't have to say they endorse it. It's history. That's what it is.
Exactly.
And look at the Roman Colosseum. Okay, let's stretch it. Do we approve of what went on in there? No. But we still go by the millions a year.
So we Christians are supposed to say, tear it down because...
That's
it's
right.
evil.
If you look at
history.
It, your brain will melt and you'll go mad.
You're right. I always say the accepted government philosophy in Germany is World War what? Adolf who?
There you go. That's about it,
you're
too.
Not, you can't say anything positive.
Can't say about, anything much at all, really.
Well, they're tightening it up, yeah. We all know that there's a law some years ago that it's a felony to deny the Holocaust, and one of the worst things somebody can be called is a Holocaust denier, which is what got David Irving thrown into the slammer.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've passed a law you can't even question the Holocaust.
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Yeah, last year I think they passed a law that you cannot condemn the government's handling of the immigrant situation.
They're getting there. Yeah, you criticize Muslims or Islam, it's hate. If they rape your women, it's just a cultural issue they have and they're let go.
Right.
Hold on a minute. We have to pause. We'll come right back and load up those photos and we're going to take a walk through history and look at it next.